I remember once Allah said, if you want beautiful children, then when your wife is expecting or when she's pregnant, you must recite Surah Yusuf every day and blow on that apple and give her to eat, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you good looking children. I don't know how true that is or not, but if one recited Surah Yusuf with the intention of reflecting upon it and making it a surah that can create the necessary change in a person's life, then inshallah the surah will benefit one greatly. As far as the surah is concerned, every type of emotion that a person either has been through or is going through or will go through is seen in the surah. Individuals go through jealousy, they go through love, they go through dislike, they go through poverty, they go towards wealth. They go towards good relationships with the parents, they go through poor relationships with the parents, they go through goodness with the brothers, things happen between brothers. Whatever emotion you have witnessed or are witnessing or will witness is definitely seen in this given surah. This surah also has another very beautiful point to it. And the other beautiful point is, when you look at any surah in the Quran, generally you will not find everything from beginning to end. For example, if a story is there, then like Surah Baqarah, they talk about Musa alayhi salam, then it changes to the topic of divorce. It continues in different ways. But as far as this surah is concerned, people came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, we want you to tell us naturally the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this also proves that sometimes people ask questions, and just because you give them an answer does not mean they want to follow the answer. Some people just ask for the sake of asking. Some people ask to show you how smart they are and how silly you are. And this is the way people out there are. And this is the way people always had been. So regarding Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same thing happened. They came to him and he gave them the surah from once upon a time, from the beginning all the way to its end. And despite him giving them the entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam, those that did not want to follow, naturally they will not follow, and they did not follow. And the same thing happened over here. Second point we learn is a very important one, that the father sometimes, and parents in general, sometimes they love one child more than the other. Or they may love all the children, but the heart goes out to one child more than the other child. And the same thing happened over here. And that is when the other brothers decided, اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ أَفِطْرَحُوا الْأَرْضَ يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجُوَبِيكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِيكُمْ صَالِحِينَ. One of them said, of course, let's just kill him, get rid of him, and he moves on. And of course, another one said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. As far as Yusuf is concerned, let's not kill him. That is a very drastic measure. وَأَلْقُوا فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ يَلْتَقِلُوا بَعْدُ السَّيَارَةِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. That is, of course, they came eventually later to a solution in all his eyes concerned. Let us throw him in a well, and maybe someone will pass by, and naturally some individual will pick him up, and thereafter take him wherever they need to take him. They will sell him in the marketplace, they will benefit, he will move on, and that way this imbalance of love in our family will not continue to take place. Anyway, they go back home after they threw him in the well, and naturally the father, they say, could sense something was very, very wrong. And there's a very powerful example we learn. Sometimes parents know what is going on between children. And always, you must not just bring it to an end. Okay, I see this is going on, let's put a stop to it. And that's a bad habit, for example, people like myself and others have, where we see a wrong and immediately we don't want to cut it. And sometimes you have to let that wrong sometimes continue a little bit. And when the time is right, then you sort of bring an end to that given wrong. Anyway, they went home. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت لنا ولو كنا صادقين. From these ayah we learn various ayahs when they told their father that your child basically was eaten up by a wolf. The father was not an ordinary man. He was a prophet. And there are certain signs Allah gives a prophet. And as you know, blood has a certain type of smell to it. Human blood has a different smell. Animal blood has a different smell. There may be a difference in as far as texture are concerned, all these things. And they didn't realize that. Likewise, when they brought the shirt to the father, They didn't realize that when a person is attacked, there are different spots on where the shirt is going to be attacked, torn, etc. And these kids did not think that far ahead. They just gave the shirt, said there's blood, and now of course, oh my father, he has been eaten up, or he has been attacked, and he is of course dead. The father naturally cried. Understand, my brothers, one thing very, very important. These boys were saved. They say if a person makes a prophet cry, or the blood of a prophet goes on the ground, or alternatively, if a person lives a lifestyle contradicting the life of a prophet, that's one aspect. But if the Prophet ﷺ made something haram and he cried in as far as individuals going towards the haram, and you and I are involved in the haram, rest assured, in some form or the other, we will see the ruin of that in our lives, or the lives of our children, or the lives between ourselves and our spouses, or our parents, or those that come after us. This is very, very serious. Therefore, we learn from these given ayat that here, of course, the Prophet cried, but his father was very, very soft, the father of Yusuf. Again, you have to understand, the father is a prophet, and the child later will become a prophet as well. The Quran says, وَجَاءُ عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. One thing you have to understand about Ya'qub alayhi salam, and if we can learn this, for sabrun jameel, the Quran doesn't just say he was patient. He said for sabrun jameel, it was a magnificent patience that he endured. The ulama write in the books of tafsir that he cried so much that the pupils of his eyes, whatever color eye you have, that entire eye became white as a consequence of his crying in the grief of his given son. Later on, of course, as you know very well, the caravan was going through, and naturally they threw a bucket in, and later he was brought out of that given bucket. And I mentioned the story to you before. Jibreel alayhi salam, they asked him, were you ever tested? And what did he say? Yes, once I was tested. I was on the highest point. I was near the closest anyone could get, of course, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But besides Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was at a very close point where Allah had him. And when Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in the well, he says it was for the first time, for the first time. And Allah said to him, I want you to go immediately down, immediately, and make it such that there was a boulder on the bottom of that well. Before my Yusuf hits that boulder, I want to make sure that you will safeguard him and protect him. They say Jibreel salam went on full speed from wherever he was all the way, just before he could hit the boulder, before Yusuf, who was quite young, could get hurt. Jibreel salam landed there, brought a prevention, had Yusuf land on him, and thereafter placed him on that boulder, and thereafter left. The ulama say Jibreel alayhi salam could have been ordered to take him out, but that's not the system of Allah at all times. The system of Allah is whatever test you are put through, you must be willing to endure. While you are enduring that test, Allah will make things easy for you. Everyone goes through a test. When you first look at what's going to happen, you think it's the end of the world, but you will realize one thing, it's not the end of the world. You make it the end of the world by using wrongful methods to a solution. Many times you notice, you are about to get that help, but you go and sign that haram contract again. You are about to get that help, opening comes, and you call that female or that male again, and you start that relationship. Allah helped you out of it. The issue was resolved. Whether it's business, whether it's social, whether it's educational, whatever it is, Allah helps you. But individuals become nasty, and now they want to play with Allah. I will change the system. Because Allah helped you. Now you won't say, Allah helped. But you say, I did it. Thereafter Allah says, okay, you did it. Now go back. And then you know, it becomes a story that moves towards history. Regarding, again, Yusuf alayhi salam, and I'll end it very, very briefly. He was thrown in the well. Traveler comes. And the Quran says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمْ مَعْدُودَ. This is an insult to a human, definitely an insult to a prophet. He was sold thereafter, literally, for a pittance in the marketplace. And today's time, when our daughters don't get $5,000 in mahar, or what do you think my daughter is? What do you think the worth of my daughter is? My brothers and sisters, the best mahar a man can give to a woman is the mahar of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that's called mahar Fatimi. If she gets that amount under the guise that my daughter is getting the sunnah when she is getting married, as far as mahar is concerned, Allah will bless that marriage. Allah will make that marriage become full of barakah at every level. But we get insulted. What do you think my daughter is? And later, you know what your daughter becomes, unfortunately, what your son becomes, unfortunately, what your son-in-law becomes. And this is something I'm not saying in a derogative manner. That's the way we all have become. And it's very, very unfortunate. So from the lesson we learn, a prophet, forget your daughters and your son, a prophet was sold for a pittance. And thereafter, as you know full well, he goes to the king, and he is a very attractive individual. And naturally, the wife of the king, وَرَاوَدَتُ الَّذِي وَفِي بَيْتِ عَنْ نَفْسِي وَغَلَّقْتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالْ هَيْتَ لَقَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. Her eyes fell on him. She began to desire him. And it came a point when she locked the doors and she wanted to seduce him. Ulama say, this man had all the looks a man could have for almost all times. But of course, our Rasulullah ﷺ, something very different. One is the person has the look, the other is Allah gave our Rasulullah ﷺ such nur that people could not even look at him directly in the face at times. So one is Allah gives a person looks, and the other is Allah gives a person a certain type of nur that overpowers a given look of a given person. That's a very, very important thing. For example, I'll give you a simple example. Many times you see many people out there in the marketplace, men and women alike. They look very, very good, but you see some dirtiness about them, some filth about them. You're not really, I mean, you look at them, you say, beautiful man, beautiful woman, but there's something about, you can see that filth, that evilness, and you just want to get away from them. And there are some people, they may be very dark looking, because unfortunately our culture says, white is right. And that white is right mentality is causing our sons and daughters a lot of problems in the social life. Anyway, yet you know full well, there are some people that may be very dark, that may not be very, very good looking according to Western standards, but yet you are attracted to them. I know there are some teachers that I had, as far as looks were concerned, they were very plain, but yet you will give the world for them, because they had sincerity, they had devotion, and they had goodness. So as far as Yusuf alayhi salam is concerned, she locked the doors, she wanted to seduce him. Again, the ulama write from this given point, he had the looks and people were wanting to seduce him. You and I do not necessarily have the looks. We want to put ourselves in a situation that we will get seduced. And even when we don't get seduced, what we say, hey, she was checking me out. My brother, she was checking me out, but she didn't have a contact lenses. She couldn't see properly. She was staring at everything on that day. So this is the difference between ourselves and Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent us from this behavior and make us realize that unwanted desire of seeking attraction is causing a lot of problems in our lives and in our relationship, whether it is disease, whether it is people going away from us, whether it is relationship that goes downhill in as far as love is concerned, everything. It is all linked to one thing. It is linked to the I, and it is linked to us wanting people to love us. It's about time that we say, I want my Allah to love me, and let people go. Anyway, he was being accused, and later it came out, and she said, you know, if you think this man is not good looking, then why don't we have a major event? And in that event, everyone will be given knives, and they'll be given fruit to cut. And when he comes forward, you'll see what needs to be seen. Anyway, Yusuf alayhi salam comes, and as they are about to cut their fruit, they end up cutting their fingers. In looking at this man, and what did they say? What is this? Is this a human or is this an angel? And what did Aisha radiallahu ta'ala say? She said something even more beautiful. She said they cut their fingers for Yusuf alayhi salam. If people saw the beauty of my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will rip out their hearts in love for him. Anyway, thereafter, now there's another lesson we learn. Muslims are in prison. Anywhere in the world you go, they are going through tremendous amount of grief. What did Yusuf alayhi salam said? Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. That means the following, this and putting all ayah together. If I am going to be hurt out there, and if it means me sacrificing my deen, and it means individuals inclining me towards haram, and me going towards haram, then prison will be better for me. In other words, if it poverty come my way, then me sacrifice my Islamic way of life, then that is better for us. So many people will tell you, when they were poor, they had a smile. So many, the story is about brothers. So many brothers I've heard say, when we were poor, we had success. When we were poor, people respected us. When we were poor, it was as if we had nothing. Today we have everything, it is as if we have nothing. And when we had nothing, it is as if we had everything. You know what wealth does to a person. So what is Yusuf alayhi salam saying? Poverty with respect, or the prison with respect, prison following the commands of Allah will bring more dignity to myself than being out in the streets and living a life of immorality. And we will end up with the final ayah. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةَ. When people praised him and said, hey Yusuf alayhi salam, look, you got out of this. You came out of prison. A woman could not seduce you. What did he say? وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. My nafs is not free. My desire, a prophet is saying this. If a prophet is saying this, my brothers and sisters, you and I definitely have to evaluate our position in life regarding everything, social, wealth, health, everything has to be evaluated. What he says, I'm not free. Inna nafsa la ammara. As far as that nafs is concerned, it can be, and I will just give you the synthesis or the basic meaning of the different type of nafs that we learn about. Simple version is, the nafs, the desire of a person, is always going to incline an individual towards wrong. Whatever you do, even if you say to me right now, you are buying this carpet for your wife to pray on the way home you'll think, should I really give it to her? She doesn't pray that much anymore. Maybe I'll give it to someone else. Oh, why should I give it? I pay so much. No, this is an antique. You know, the Imam of Khadija Masjid stood on it. Maybe I can get more dollars if I go and sell it to somebody else. Shaitan plays. I'm not saying I'm a great guy. I'm making a joke. You can smile a little bit at least. The point I'm trying to make is everyone is inclined towards wrong, even though they start off on the right track. So that he's saying here, as far as my nafs are concerned, it is to incline a person, and it will incline a person towards wrong. Illa ma rahma rabbi, except that individual upon whom Allah has rahm and mercy upon. That is why one of the best du'as you can make is Allahumma rahamna, Allahumma rahamni. Oh Allah, have rahm on me. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. Oh Allah, give me the necessary dignity that I am seeking in this world. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. And one final phrase, Qul hadihi sabili yad'u ila Allah. If you want success, then understand the following. Your way should be the way to guide people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guide people in a way towards Allah, towards wisdom and kindness and niceness. And there are different ways in which you can do it. Those of you that have businesses, somebody is short a little bit of cash, give the person a little bit of a break. If Allah has given you a nice life, a good life, to give a few pennies discount will never ever hurt you, especially on something like water, bread, basic necessities. For that, by all means, you must open up our hearts. For those of us that are in politics, and Allah has given you the ability to make people's lives easy, give them an easier life. Try to make it easy for others. Those of you that are in an advisory position, give people the best of advice. Every one of us can create change in someone's life. At the end of the day, it is da'wah you are giving. They know you are a Muslim. You may change your name from Muhammad to Mo, and from Yusuf to Yosef. One guy said his name is Yosef. I said, what's Yosef? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I Americanized it. From Yusuf to Yosef. I said, why Yosef? He said, see, I like surfing. I tell people my name is Yosef, so I go surfing. So I describe it as a surfing, so people get happy with me. So they don't think I'm a Muslim. My brother, Yosef or Yusuf? They know you are Muslim. People have been profiling very, very well. They know who you are, they know what you are. It's a reality. Deal with it. So, in other words, what I'm saying, let us become an embodiment of da'wah in every form. And inshallah, if we did that, then this story will become a reality for us. And inshallah, it will become something that will change our life and the life of those around. Wa akhu da'wah, alhamdulillah.